You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Here's a summer travel tip. Pack just one pair of shoes that goes with every outfit, like the versatile, perfectly packable tree shoes from Allbirds. From the Go Anywhere Tree Runners to the Sporty Tree Dashers 2 to the classic low-top Tree Pipers, Allbirds has a pair of shoes for every style. The best part is, they're all crafted with lightweight, breathable eucalyptus fiber that takes comfy to the next level. Step into summer travel with the perfect travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your pair at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who it is?
Receiving a Dana, and we can't believe you found a fucking podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning.
We're Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
Dana.
Wait. I'm here.
Have you exhaled yet?
Yes. Oh, it, okay.
Ugh, yay.
So this is our first podcast post-election, and I couldn't be happier. How are you feeling, my honey?
Girl, I'm good. I've slept like I haven't slept. I'm refilled.
We clonked out. Did you party at all? What was happening? Did you pop a champs?
We popped a champs. We ran out into the streets.
Yes.
And then we came home and popped more champs.
You were so funny. You called me right as it was called. And you were like, what? This is insane. And I heard beeping in Washington Heights where you are. And then my roommate's mom was on his phone in Oakland, California. And so we put our phones together so that she could hear Washington Heights beeps. Like, it was crazy. It was like across the country, like, you know, phone calls with like family and friends. And then
that's a deep phone tree.
It was. I'm sorry you didn't know it was happening, but we were kind of making out with our phones, you and Nick's mom.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I guess that's the news, and our podcast is over. This is it.
Yeah, I don't remember anything that's happened before or since.
Yeah. I do, before we bring on our super politically active guests today, we're so excited to talk to them. We were supposed to chat last week, and it was like totally in the midst of stomachs, you know, are all in knots, and we're just
I had a couple things on the calendar, and I'm like, I felt really prepared for this to take a while, but like didn't have the foresight to not plan anything.
Yeah. So we're like,
everything got canceled, which was great because everyone wanted to cancel everything.
We needed to put all of our jazz hands, our collective jazz hands, in the air, and nothing else could be done about it.
It was the best.
I have one piece of news up top, and then we can bring in our guests. Okay, so I'm producing this show on Broadway on Demand called Broadway Fanatic with Laura Haywood. And season 2 drops on Friday, and it's going to be every other Friday. So Fanatic Fridays, it will be free for everyone to view, which is new. It used to be behind a paywall.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and I was like,
hallelujah.
We were like, can we please be free? And they were like, yes. And so it'll be free for everyone to view. And it's a really cool social media mishmash of people doing theater stuff. So if you see anyone doing anything, if you're creating something, use hashtag Broadway Fanatic BOD, and I will see it because I'm the one who scours the internet. So that's
you're
it.
Such a queen, mama. Congratulations.
Thanks. I mean, that's what's happening in the world of Broadway on the digital platforms.
Things we say now.
So without further ado, please join me in welcoming Lauren Molina and Nick Searly from The Skivvies.
The Skivvies.
They are New York City's premier indie rock band, y'all. That's right. I said indie because they're nude when they're singing, but they have their little undies on. You're just the greatest, you know, downtown entertainment of all time. And we're so delighted.
I knew
delighted.
No one would see them, but I did put on the cute undies for the occasion.
Yes, I appreciate that.
I guess we should open with, what are you guys wearing?
Wow.
Oh my God, how dare you?
It's a gorgeous day, you guys. We're in November, and yet here in New York City, it's 75 degrees. So I'm wearing a tank top and some light silky, I call them my travel pants, some light silky pants.
I know those pants.
And so that's my look. But my undergarments, if they were exposed, I'm giving you a sensible sports bra. Because honestly, it's weird, you guys, that like I have shifted from when we entered COVID into not wearing a bra into like just a sports bra. I can't get into a regular bra these days until I'm like on stage again, performing in front of audiences, like The Wire situation. I don't have time for it.
The only wire you want to wear is your mic.
Ayo. So yes, but I'm wearing a very cute lace panty underneath my silky travel pants.
I'm so glad I asked.
Do your travel pants have a sisterhood?
Mm-hmm, they do, because I have several of them.
Fierce.
I am in Ohio right now visiting my parents, and I just got back from the gym, so I am wearing a tank top as well, like Lauren, no bra. And I am wearing my gym shorts are actually lined, so I'm actually freeballing. What I wanted to do.
Well done.
But like the fact that you're freeballing and I normally just don't wear a bra anymore, I feel like that is 2020. Like that is that's how you
absolutely
have to live.
What did you guys do on Saturday? Did you go out on the town? Were you weeping in front of your TV? Like when you heard that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are our future, what did the Skivvies do?
Well, I was babysitting, and I had this 3-year-old child on my shoulders, and we were checking out at Rite Aid on 125th Street. getting some Pez candy for a Pez dispenser that I had, a Lucy Pez dispenser, in fact.
Wow.
I know. And as I was just getting my credit card out, a woman walked in and she said, "We have a new president. It's official." And we all started cheering in the Rite Aid, everyone in line and, behind the counter. And then I walked out of the Rite Aid and, you know, there's always a bunch of African hair braiding women that sit in a circle that are always in this one location. And they were on their feet dancing and cheering. And then the horn started honking as I walked down 125th Street and everyone was cheering. And I was just, I had this like 3-year-old on my shoulders. And so I was just like running down the street screaming like a crazy lunatic. And I was so happy. And, it was just being on 125th because it's like the center of Harlem. You know, you could just feel the energy and the joy and, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement so big here. And you could just feel the rejoicing. It was it was wild.
I also just love that you were buying Pez. Like, I know.
Nick, what about you?
I had the opposite experience. I live 45 minutes north of the city in a place called Greenwood Lake, New York, which is a village of Warwick. The county is Orange County, and they went 76% for Trump. So I was at the gym, and the TV was on, and they announced there's a Fox TV there, and there's a CNN TV there, and it's very clear who watches what. And there was a guy there in his, and he's there all the time. And he has the tank top he had on was a bright pink vote for Trump, make liberals cry again shirt. And it was announced that Biden won. And I literally started crying. And I saw that shirt and I was like, well, you did it. you made me cry. So that's where I was when it happened. I had severe FOMO of watching Lauren and all the friends out in the city on Saturday doing the jubilant dancing. And because my town is not that. It's a lake and it's mountains. So I didn't get to go have a crowd moment, but I did sob at the TV all day. And I woke up like a lighter than air.
I am so excited to talk to you guys. Here, can I just like nerd out a little bit? The New York Times, hold your pause. The New York Times called the Skivvies a hot musical comedy duo, paradoxically sophisticated and innocent. People magazine hailed them as the most playful performers of the year, and the Wall Street Journal calls them smart, sophisticated, .. ingenious. And I would like to add my review, which is a wacky combo of Uptown Theater District and dirty downtown wit. Bow, bow,
bow. Ooh. Ooh, I love the Uptown Downtown.
Yeah, you are. I mean, don't you feel that? Like, you are a combination of like Broadway and Joe's Pub.
Yeah, we are.
Or maybe you're exactly Joe's Pub.
Yeah, and the fact that we had, we sort of started our residency officially at 54 Below, but then it, even though our very first show was at Joe's Pub, our second show was at the Cutting Room, and then our third show and on was 54 Below for a while.
Wait, so no, you skipped the High Line. Our third show was the High Line.
Oh, right. We're figuring out where we fit in.
Yeah, we were really trying to find a home. Because we did feel like, we knew what we were, but we were like, who, where do we fit?
Sure. Right. Well, and at first, 54 Below was like, we're not sure you fit with our audiences, because they were going for the more cabaret, more, they wanted the higher end Patti LuPone kind of vibe.
Oh, right. It's because she opened that place and it was around that time that they had us come do like one of those. I forgot about that. Who was the host of that night? Was it Susie Mosher?
Queen.
Was it that?
Actual Queen Susie Mosher.
Because I remember we went there. Remember this, Lauren? We went there and it was right after our single, The Hard Body Hoedown.
Oh, right. No, we saw Petula Clark. No, wait, we didn't see Petula Clark. We sat with Petula Clark.
Yep. Faith Prince and Jason Graw had like a cabaret show that we watched. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went up and we sang The Hard Body Hoedown, which is essentially a medley about body parts. And I remember right before we went on, do you remember this, Lauren, where we were like, okay, should we just do like, I Feel the Earth Move Under Our Feet?
Oh, right. We were trying to figure out what song would play. Should we do our dirty hard body hoedown medley or something more conservative and traditional? But we went for it.
As you should.
And then we got a residency. So there you go.
Yeah.
Proving the people wrong.
Yeah. It was like one of those things where, and I still think that we face not discrimination, that's not the right word, but we face judgment before people know who we are and what we do. Where people are like, "Oh, you guys perform with your clothes off, just in your skivvies. It sounds, like you can't really take that seriously. It just sounds like funny and silly." But the truth is that we create these very elaborate mashups and medleys that are very creative and clever and very thought provoking as well. We sometimes tell stories. We sometimes connect things thematically, and so it's more about the music than anything else. And the underwear Absolutely. Is truly just a gimmick and just a fun way of expressing ourselves physically. And, one of my favorite reviews that we've ever gotten was actually at our last live show before COVID. And it was from Broadway World, right, Nick?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
And they basically were like, talking about how this guy had always sent his other journalists to cover the Skivvies shows because he'd always just like kind of brushed us off and not taken us seriously as musicians and performers. And he felt like because he had struggled with some body issues and body dysmorphia that he would be triggered by, mm-hmm. By seeing, you know, different bodies, up there without, you know, with undies on only. And he said that he was so proven wrong. All of the different shapes and sizes of people were a celebration of body positivity, and that it is not a judgmental environment whatsoever. And it is not, it's not about what you're wearing. It's not about being naked or being fit, but it's about the celebration and the togetherness. And I think we all really have needed that, mm-hmm. obviously, not only in these last 4 years, but we really, I can't wait to get back to that feeling of love and joy and celebration through music and body positivity. So yeah, if you feel like checking that article out on Broadway World from the February President's Day show, it's just like a beautiful way how he says that, like, if anyone is skeptical about the Skivvies, let me be your date to the next Skivvies show.
Oh, that's great.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Might I add, you are both two of the most incredible musicians. Like, that's – what do you guys play? Lauren, what instruments do you play? Because I feel like it's 37 different things.
I mean,
including your voice and your body.
Okay. Yes, I can slap my leg there. Clap my hands. It's a great instrument. I play the cello. That was like – piano was my first instrument when I was like 5 years old. And then, you know, when I was 9 and picked up the cello, I told my parents, ugh, cello and piano, I'm just too busy for both. So I played cello throughout middle school and high school and picked up guitar, picked up ukulele along the way. Let's see. I can play the bass, the double bass, the electric bass, electric guitar.
I'm such a lady boner for you.
You know, I can play a lot of like quirky little percussive things, you know, like the melodica and you know, the glockenspiel and the xylophone. I play a little bit of mandolin.
Sure, who doesn't?
Ears.
But I don't play anything that you really blow into. Like I had to learn how to play the saxophone for one John Doyle show, and I can play it, but I am not good at it, and please don't ask me to.
No problem.
But anything that requires like embouchure with your lips blowing into like a horn, uh-huh. I am so terrible at it. But yeah, that's pretty much my go-tos as far as string instruments. That's my thing.
Yeah. And then Nick, what is your instrument of choice?
I really like to stick to the ukulele or any sort of like the quirky child's toys. But I did start on piano when I was a little kid, and I was taught by a nun on Tuesdays at my house until I was 18 years old. And my dad's a musician. He plays the piano really well and sings and stuff. So, I mean, I like to think that, yeah, I don't really play anything that you blow into that's like brass or whatever or reeds. But if I love to be challenged. If I'm in the room with something and I'm like, oh, let me try and play that thing, I would love to. I like to try.
Yes.
You like toys. You like to pick up and tinker and make it do what you want to do.
I mean, most songs are four chords anyway, so I don't need to like get overwhelmed with trying to learn something Bach. But I guess my favorite thing that we've been doing lately in shows is we do this xylophone thing that Lauren and I share a giant xylophone. And it's been, I feel like it's really what's the word, gratifying. I feel like I'm clenched really tight the whole time I'm doing it. And when we're done, it's really rewarding to be like, yes, we fucking did it.
Yeah. You mean like how we felt on Saturday?
Yeah, it's exactly how we felt on Saturday. Clenched. We can finally all fart now.
Yes! My butt was clenched for 4 years, for sure.
I love that you found an instrument that you can share, that's both of yours, and you can both like do together, that requires both of you to create the sound.
Mm-hmm. We just did this Birdland virtual concert. That we did that xylophone thing. We call it the hylophone because our medley that we do on it is all about songs with the word hi. So we call it the hylophone. And so we ended with it, and our drummer was behind us. And he said, I've never seen your butts clench so much and get so relieved as to what I just watched you do with that xylophone. Because he was like, you both went up and then you both came down.
Hilarious. That's his show.
It's just funny that like we like didn't have any shows for the longest time, right? Mm-hmm. And then suddenly in August, we had our first outdoor live socially distant show. And then a week later, we did a taping at Birdland for no audience. But, you know, of course they can cut and, you know, edit certain things. But when it's filmed, you want to try to get it right the first time, you know? So yeah, there was a little bit of holding your breath and squeezing your butt.
Title of episode.
Yep.
Yep.
Can we pivot a little bit? I want to talk to you both about your good man, Charlie Brown, that you did last year, 2 years ago now?
Last year. Let's keep it last year. 2019. Yep.
I know that what? 2020 has felt like 45 years in itself,
yes,
but
I'm 95 now. You're an old man, yeah. Charlie Brown.
But I remember like keeping an eye on it because I thought it was such a perfect idea. That show is so built for the play your own instrument setup. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's the kids, it's the tinkering, and you watch the Peanuts gang. They're always like Schroeder's always at his little piano and they're dancing and like doing
they're already a band.
And it seems so obvious, but it's so creative and not obvious. And I want to hear how that idea went from an idea to production.
Nick,
shall I or shall you?
You go for it. I'll jump in when needed.
So I just remember, I'll take it back. When I saw the first acting musician thing I ever saw was Lauren Sweeney Todd. In 2005. And I remember watching it being like, God, that's the way I remember. That was like pre-social media kind of stuff. And I think we had Friendster, right? And I remember being like, seeing that and blown away. I wanted every story, any musical to be told that way. I really, really liked, I was just really into that. So I started brainstorming with Lauren and I said, what could we do together that we could tell a story with our own instruments kind of way? And I said, you're Good Man Charlie Brown immediately because the Peanuts are already a band. It's a small cast. And I've never seen that show that way or any show that way. And I really wanted to be in it. So sure. I guess we've been like secreting it since that time. And that was 2005. Well, was that when Sweeney Todd was, Lauren? 05? 06?
Yep. Mm-hmm. 05.
And then, so I've thought about it for forever, and we both have. And I remember we were cast in a Bucks County show together, the Rocky Horror Show in 2013. And I remember like this idea started to like seep back in a little bit because it was like, oh, the Skibbies are a thing now. Maybe we could try and make this happen. So it's still like years and years later, and I'm at the Playhouse in the Park in Cincinnati doing Little Shop of Horrors. And that's where a lot of John Doyle things were kind of like Company was done there, and that Merrily We Roll Along was done there. That's acting musician. Concept. Mm-hmm. They do a really good job specializing in that kind of stuff. And the artistic director there at the opening night or closing night, I forget, said, you know, we'd love to hear if you have any ideas, pitch us any ideas of things you would love to see us do or things you would like to do here. And I was like, actually, while I've got you, I've always had this idea of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown as an actor musician piece, six people, they're already a band. I pitched it pretty like an elevator pitch essentially. And whenever I've had this like kind of idea before, people don't really follow up. I always feel like, okay, well, they didn't take the bait, whatever, I'll move on. And this time he followed up in an email like 3 weeks later and was like, hey, I really want to talk to you about that idea, that conversation we had at the party. When can you talk? And so that's kind of how it happened. He gave us a workshop. He was really intrigued by the idea. He gave us a workshop in 2017 where we did like, I don't know, a majority of the show, but not all the songs. I think we did all of the book, but not all the songs. And just to see how it would work in that format, we all just sat in a circle. We spent, I guess it was like half a week or 4 days or so with trying to create the arrangements as a group. And then I guess that was September and around, but before the holidays, he said he wanted to put it in the following season to close the following season. So when we finally knew it was all going to happen, we still had to wait a year and a half from the initial workshop. But it had been like brewing in our brains for, at that point, 13 years. And by the time it was done on stage, 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Like what pride you must feel, like this idea that you had, and you're like, oh, that would be cool because it's all the things I love and want to do. And then all of a sudden the opportunity was there and it was kismet. It was meant to be.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And, you know, like Nick said, you don't often get an opportunity to, as an actor, to pitch an idea and have an artistic director say, yeah, that's great. Let's try it. And, you know, provide the funds that are needed to do a workshop to see if it works and then take it to fruition. You know, get us truly like anything we needed. We felt so supported at the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, and it was such a incredible experience. And, you know, audiences loved it, and we're talking about critics, you know, mentioned the joy of it and how it's a gentle and kind show and how we need this kind of art right now. Mm-hmm. There's something that feels healing about it. And what's exciting is that, you know, before COVID hit, we were on track to bring it to New World Stages. And so we are still in the works trying to figure out how and when that will happen. But obviously everything is put on pause for the moment. But, you know, when things can reopen again, we hope to safely do our actor-musician Charlie Brown in New York City.
Yes, and we would be first in line to see it because, again, I'm just obsessed with the idea. It's so right.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And, you know, I think people are so familiar with the iconography of Charlie Brown that, like, even if little kids these days have never seen the Charlie Brown, you know, cartoon in the newspaper or whatever, you know, or the cartoon, they still know who Snoopy is and who Charlie mm-hmm. Brown are just because of the, you know, they're just, it's the branding. The brand is so strong.
Yeah, they're absolutely 70 years old, kind of like the way I feel.
Yeah. Agreed.
If I may, I would like to bring it way, way, way back and ask you about the time you guys met, because this is a little mini series we're doing on our podcast. It's called Getting Cozy with Castmates. So that's why you guys are here specifically.
Mm. Getting cozy with bandmates.
Because you're castmates in so many different shows and ways. And I want to know what that Genesis story is. What made you attract to each other?
Ooh, I'll take this one.
Okay.
So Nick and I met in 2003. Basically,
the first day of rehearsal, we were both early.
Yep. Yeah, we were responsible.
That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, since then, Nick's just been late getting iced coffees, but no,
I always say you want me late with an iced coffee rather than be on time without one.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So it was for a Theater Works production of the Just So Stories, which is a Rudyard Kipling story of how the elephant gets its trunk and the leopard gets its spots. And basically Theater Works is set up to travel in a van across the country with the sets and the costumes all ready to be set up and taken down for a, you know, in a cafetorium in no time. Sure. So, you know, we ended up, with TheaterWorks, there's a cargo van that carries all that stuff and a passenger van. And Nick and I quickly figured out that we were really, really the, we just bonded. We bonded real fast. And in the cargo van, there's two seats up front and the rest is cargo. So we were like, you know what, you guys, we're going to take the cargo van. Okay, bye.
Amaze.
You're no dum-dums.
So, yeah, and boy, oh boy, we drove all around the country, and we blasted Britney Spears' In the Zone album came out that,
year. Brand new. Oh.
You know, it's just, days.
Yeah, and boy, we just had so many adventures, and you know, in trying times, they say you bond, and we definitely like. Got ourselves into some funny jams, and some most were not our fault, but we had to figure out how to get out of them. And yeah, so we bonded and got our equity cards, and so yeah, like basically, I moved to New York in 2003, and that was the first gig I got.
Me too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is the sweetest story ever told.
Oh, and you want to know the fun thing we figured out on that trip? Because she went to Michigan and I went to Boston Conservatory. And we, you know, they do senior showcases for musical theater. And so on our trip, I was like, you know, you get the getting to know you questions. And I remember being like, oh, well, what did you sing for your showcase? And Lauren was like, Popcorn from, what's it called? Little by Little. And I was like, oh my God. And she was like, what did you sing? And I was like, Popcorn. From Little by Little.
Duet. It's a duet. We sang the same song at our senior showcase. But
that's spooky.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I will say, speaking of like spook, well, Nick was born on Halloween, but
happy birthday.
Happy belated.
Oh, thanks. We got a new president for my birthday.
Yay!
No, but like Nick and I, we also both have like a weird sort of, I don't know, like cosmic psychic connection to the point where we will text each other at the exact same second after like not like talking to each other for the whole day. And then we'll text each other like the same idea at the same moment. It's just wild. Our brains are really connected chemically somehow. I don't know. But I'm very glad we found each other because I don't think that occurs very often with people. Like I feel very lucky that I found a person in this world who gets me like that, you know?
We do know.
We do. Stephen and I found each other at the Duplex, not having known each other beforehand. We were staring at each other and then started to like mime KFC chicken, like eating chicken and having the oil drip down our arms. Like we were just miming this. I don't know how we started on it.
Our first meal was mime.
Yeah, exactly. We were at a Natalie Joy Johnson show, right. And it was just
get
like,
into it, Queen.
Get into it.
Get into it, Queen.
And you know, it was just like, oh, you know, it is. It's chemistry. It was through the air particles, and it's you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not anymore. You were wearing a mask, so no more air particles.
Nope.
Exactly.
Thank God, we found each other pre-COVID, or we couldn't have the particles.
Right.
But like speaking of NJJ is relentless, I would like to say that the people that you bring on in your Skivvies show, like you have guests, you do songs with people. So there will be, you'll have a concert and there'll be, you know, 10 different guests that come in and they are all New York City theater, cabaret, hilarious, drag queens. Like they are the who's who of the New York City scene. And it's just such a fun night of talent. And you're just like, Yes. I just want to like give a round of applause for creating your own work. You are the Skivvies and you both have resumes. You've both done Broadway, off Broadway, you know, you might have television credits, whatever, but you have created this thing that is truly yours. And I think I have such respect for that. And I think that's what New York City is about. It's what theater is about. It is what collaboration is at its deepest form. I love it so much. And
thank you.
My hat is off to the Skivvies.
Thanks.
I was just going to say that is actually the piece of advice that I give most often to young artists is to create your own work and don't wait for somebody else to hire you. You know, you're creative. And now we have such resources. I mean, I started saying this like 10, 15 years ago before we had access to our phones with like every sort of movie, digital, TikTok-y, Insta filtery, you know, everything. And so now like there's no excuse for you to not create your own content and be creative. And actually Jason Alexander, you know, the Jason Alexander from Seinfeld fame.
Yep. And from the original Merrily We Roll Along.
Yes. So I saw a production that he directed of Sunday in the Park in LA. And afterwards I met with him because I had a friend in the show and I asked him, what can you say to me, you know, because you're such a legend. And that was the first thing he said. He was like, create your own work and make your own path. And you don't try to fit into a mold. And trust your taste, trust your sense of self and comedy. And I think that takes some confidence and some guts to do. But you know, when you have support of your friends that, you know, are your collaborators and things like that, I think it makes it a lot easier. And I wish that upon everyone to find good collaborators that bring out the best. I know not everyone works best in a collaborative situation. Some people are like sort of lone wolf artists and that's awesome for them. But in my spirit is super collaboration. And, and so I think that's what the Skivvies is and means.
Cheers, 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 cheers.
Which is still a perfect segue into your album that just came out, The Rocky Horror Skivvy Show.
Yes! It's so good.
Thank you.
I mean, it is a collaborative album and recorded completely in quarantine. I was going to say that, you know, this is usually a live show that you do annually, and this year it became clear well before Halloween that that would not be a possibility and that you took those lemons and turned them into lemonade in this beautiful way that lives well beyond quarantine and COVID and all of us. I think, again, you guys are just nailing the creativity when the world is making that hard. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a beautiful result.
I'm going to preface it by saying that Lauren and I really love musicals with the word horror. Both like Little Shop a lot. We both like Rocky Horror a lot. We were both cast as Brad and Janet at the Bucks County Playhouse when they first did it in 2013. That's become like an annual tradition ever since. It's directed by Hunter Foster and choreographed by Lauren Lataro. And it's just, we were in the first cast of it and then we've done it a few times ever since, but we just got obsessed with it. I've always been obsessed with the score. And then around 2018, we decided together to do our own take on the score. We knew that we didn't want to do the show, but we knew that we wanted to do something with the music and kind of put our own stamp on it with the twist of a mashup or whatever we felt that music did for us as the Skivvies. So we did the first Rocky Horror Skivvies show in 2018 at Joe's Pub. And then they brought us back to do it again in 2019 for two shows. And then this year we had it booked a few places across the country, like a little tour in California and Indiana. The Bucks County Playhouse had it for a week because they weren't going to do the Rocky Horror Show this year. And then COVID hit and we lost, you know, in 5 minutes, we lost all those gigs. So we were like, around August, we said to each other, hey, and we've always said that was the show maybe that we should consider recording, like preserving it on an album situation. And this year we were like, you know, this is the year for recording and recording albums. And since we can do that kind of thing in quarantine, we hacked together a plan and got our band together and then started making it happen. And that was in August. And we knew we were operating kind of on a clip because we knew that we wanted it out by Halloween. But we did it.
You did it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually was skeptical. My partner Rob was like, you want to record 17 songs by Halloween and it's like nearly the end of August right now? I doubt that is possible. But Nick and I, when we get a bee in our bonnet, we just don't stop. So we I can't believe we scheduled it and we made it happen. And it was just so fulfilling in every way. And hearing, because, you know, we laid down like track by track, instrument by instrument, people would be at home and they would just email their tracks and drop them into our, you know, Google Drive link. And then the editor, who is a freaking genius, Debbie Chong, who also plays the bass and sings on the album, she edited everything together. It was like Christmas when we were like hearing things arrive from your fellow bandmates that you're not recording at the same time together. And it was just so thrilling to hear the bits added piece by piece by piece. And then finally at the end, the vocals, it was just thrilling. And we're just so proud of it. And and it arrived by Halloween.
You guys have the hustle. Woo. Inspiring.
I will say I guess another cool part of that whole experience is that we were able to give opportunities for people who, obviously all of our artist friends, our band friends, our singer friends, our acting friends, they're all, you know, as everyone is out of work right now. And we were able to do like an Indiegogo and we raised all the money and more. And we were able to like give all 20 people involved or however many it was like work for a brief moment in time during this dark time.
Yeah. We paid people. Yeah, it felt really good to pay people. Nice. Yeah. Not just like $50 for a reading, you know?
Well, let's read. I have it right in front of me. It is on Spotify if anyone needs to find it. I'm sure, is it on iTunes? Like,
yep, it's on all the things. Everywhere where you can purchase music, it's there.
Yeah.
So, and I just got an alert from Pandora that said that they're going to start mixing our songs into their playlists. So that's fine.
Very cool.
So here are some people who are on it. Krista Rodriguez, Will Swenson, Brittany Alexandra Campbell, Marissa Rosen, Allison Fraser, Nathan Lee Graham, Christina Bianco, which I listened to that right before this interview, and she does her Christina Bianco thing where she does a whole bunch of different impressions. It's Floor Show Rose Tint My World from the show, and it's so funny. And I feel like, Nick, are you the one saying like Christina Aguilera, Liza Minnelli?
We take turns. We flip back and forth.
Yeah, like you give her the prompts and then she completely flips into that impression and continues with her, you know, couple sentences. It's so funny. Tamika, Sonia Lawrence, Michael Cerveris, Rob Morrison, Alice Ripley finishes it off.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Travis Kent. Sorry, I missed.
Yeah.
Travis Kent.
All good. So. Yeah, we have a lot of people. It's hard to keep track of them all. But
it's because everyone wants to hang out with you.
It's a lot. That's the biggest guest show that we ever whenever we do that one live, it's like, oh, there's 12 guests and a 7-piece band. So there's 19 people on stage like to be responsible for that show, at least.
Yeah, it's a lot to wrangle, but it's so much fun. And boy, it'll be fun to do it again in person at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're ready for it.
But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
We have a couple of questions we like to ask all of our guests, if you'll indulge us. The first question is, what was your first impression of each of us?
Of each of you? Guys are of...
Yeah, poor Nick hasn't even met us.
Wait, you guys. So like,
that's so unfair.
Usually we can see each other, but this time it's all audio, so we can't see anybody. So it's kind of funny.
Well, my first impression of you was that Stephen is a cat lover.
Yes.
And that's because Stephen adopted a kitty from me years ago.
I sure did. And he is thriving. He is thriving.
Yay.
And that is because you are a queen foster mama who saved him.
Well, it was a wild. Yes. Yeah, so I know that you are a lover of animals, and anyone who is a lover of animals, in my opinion, is a good person. And then I would just say, yeah, like my impression of both of you is just that you are fun and open and open-minded and energetic and enthusiastic and positive people. That's a good thing.
Lauren Molina, I've never met you, but I wish I had. I guess I still have time.
You still can.
now. Everything just kind of seems like, well, until we meet again. No, I have interacted with you once on Instagram,
yeah?
And I have to share it because
It's
going to – it has to do with what Steven said. I saw that Diane Keaton had posted her favorite comments of all time, and – one of the slides was this. I have a friend whose cat is named Diane Kitten. I thought you should know. @Lomo212. And I was like, what? Diane Keaton posted @Lomo212's comment. And I think I know who that is. And then I like sent it to you immediately. I don't know you. I was just like, you need to put your eyes on this.
Oh my God. It made my life. And it obviously made the life of the friends of mine who own Diane Kitten, which which are Lauren and Joe Iconis. Yeah. So yeah, their kitten is famous now. That blew my mind. I love Diane Keaton.
Love Diane.
The internet is weird.
I love that that was you. I can't believe that. The internet is so weird.
I'm like, I'm sure like everyone's going to send this to her. I want to be first.
Wow. No, you were the only one.
Are you freaking kidding me?
You were the first. I reposted it and then the rest is history.
You're freaking kidding me. Okay. That's bizarre.
You mean you're freaking kidding me.
Kitten.
Yeah.
Thank you for hearing it.
No problem. I have first impressions of you guys. I just went to Facebook and I can see what you look like.
Yeah.
And I like most of our mutual friends. And I like that you posted the thing about designing women, the lights went out in Georgia.
Georgia.
And Stephen, I feel like we have the same wardrobe. So I'm already very into
get into it.
Queen.
Queen! It's going to work well.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
The second question we ask all of our guests, and my personal favorite, there are 7 very famous dwarves in history. If you two were the 8th and 9th dwarves, what would your names be?
Quirky.
Oh, God. Speedy.
Yes.
Turkey and Speedy.
That's how the skivvies get done, you guys.
It's a match made in heaven.
No, truly. It's like, yes.
Quickest text in the West, they say.
Wait, Lauren, I also have to mention that you popped in on our Asmerette Gabra Mikkel podcast.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I was helping. I was at Asmerette's house helping her with a voiceover audition. And I brought, because she didn't have a microphone at her house yet, so I brought over some gear. And then it went overtime, and then she had to do your podcast, and I was just like lingering in the background. I heard you guys talking about certain things, and so I would just like walk into frame and make a comment.
As you should. I'm so glad you did, because we were hoping you would.
Yeah.
Well, I did it.
Wait, so I have to say, I'm from Wisconsin, so I love whenever we talk to people from the Midwest.
Oh, yeah. I'm Detroit.
I've never been to Michigan. Isn't that crazy?
What?
I know.
Seen Lake Michigan.
It'll be there when you want to visit, hopefully.
I'm hoping as much. Where I'd are love you to both go to Detroit.
Most excited to travel?
Well, I was supposed to take a trip to Hawaii for the first time in my life in May, and that got canceled. So I really want to go to Hawaii, and I keep like imagining in my dream of dreams to do like a 2-week skivvies vacation where I could just like have a commune of like all skivvies friends together in like, you know, just a beautiful tropical location. And then, you know, we would do a concert here or there, but just like then enjoy the environment and go surfing and scuba diving and snorkeling. And
Hawaii, you know, likes ukuleles.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. We should like go for a ukulele convention or something and like be on the
convention. Yeah. We're going to the convention.
Yeah. Just like make a business trip out of it.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen Bette Midler do the poi balls?
Yes.
Where she like,
oh yeah.
So I made my own when I was in high school because I was obsessed, and I still am. And I know how to do them. So if you need someone, if you need me to come with you and like really show those Hawaiians how it's done, like, oh, I'm super available.
Great. Okay.
I want to learn. You're in. Let's go.
You want to learn how to what?
I know how to. Oh no, I want to learn how to light them on fire. I didn't get that far.
Oh,
like
in yourself.
Really?
Taught. Why don't you do that? Why don't you try that first, and then we'll come around to you after.
Yeah, okay, if you're gonna hang with the skivvies, you need to bring flames.
Cool. You guys, thank you so much for being here. I want people to know where they can find you. And obviously the Rocky Horror Skivvies show is anywhere you find your music. So
yeah, we're on Instagram at the Skivvies NYC. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter on occasion, but Instagram is mostly what we do, and Facebook. But yeah, we're very easy to find, and we'll get back to you.
And Skivvies is 2 V's, you guys, 2 V's.
That's right.
You can see their handles typed out correctly in the description of this episode.
Thank you.
Well, hopefully we'll have a vaccine soon.
Come on now.
And everyone will be able to party again.
Listen, I miss going out and going to shows like yours. So
truly.
Can't wait. I miss it so hard.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so
Thanks
much
for being here. And on that note,
Bye.
Nailed it.
In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out. And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.